saying there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. No condemnation. There is therefore now to them which are in Christ Jesus. They'll never be condemned, those that are in Christ, because He stood in our place and bore our condemnation. Now we stand in Him. Ever before the Father's face, those that are in Christ stand in Christ. No condemnation. And at the conclusion of this chapter, there's no separation. It begins with no condemnation and ends with no separation. It says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us, those that are in Christ. They're not condemned. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, no separation can ever be the lot of those in experimental oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ. All those that are in Christ are one with Him. As I oft times have said, when He died, those that are in Him died. When He was buried, those that were in Him was buried. And when He arose from the grave, those that were in Him rose with Him. Experimental oneness. Vital union with Christ. Everything, sanctification, justification, righteousness, adoption, salvation, everything that pertains to the salvation of God is in Christ Jesus. From no condemnation to no separation. God done it all in Christ. God put all of His eggs in one basket, Christ Jesus. Can do nothing without Christ. You can't pray without Christ, because to pray, you must come in His name. But if you're not in Him, you can't come on your own. Of course, those that are not in Him don't want to come. They will not come to Him that they might have life. Well, up here then in this 29th verse of that chapter, it says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And the question is asked, what shall we then say to these things? Well, if you'll notice that the we there is a personal pronoun. And the we refers to the eternal loved ones of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are in Christ can trace their origin back before the world was ever formed. Because we were chosen in Him and preserved in Him and called with a holy calling by and through Him. We to whom Jesus Christ has made wisdom, we the eternal loved one, we that are in Christ, we to whom Christ is made righteousness, wisdom, and sanctification, and justification, we whom He foreknew as His own before the world was formed. We. That's who the we are. Those that trace their lineage back to God's sovereign choice. We are His people by God's sovereign choice. And He put us in His Son and preserved us in His Son and called us here in time. We whom He foreknew as His own before the world was ever born. We who He predestinated to the adoption of children. We who are the called according to His purpose. We who are acquitted by God in the court. We who stand before Him free from all taint of sin. We who stand before God. We who stand before the face of a holy God stand free from all sin. We stand without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. We stand before Him whiter than the snow. We who stand before Him justified from all things. We who are seen by Him as standing in His beloved Son, are seen as His beloved Son is, without spot, without blemish, and without wrinkle. He whom He glorified, it says here, He predestinated them. He called them. He justified them. He also glorified them in the eternal mind and purpose of God. We're already glorified in Christ, in the mind and purpose of God. It does not say merely whom He will. That's not what He says. It says, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Not whom He will at the end in some great and glorious ceremony will He glorify them. He hath glorified them now. What shall we say then to these things? Well, it's not what He's going to do, but it's what He has already done in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This whole series of verses here pertaining to God and God's salvation speaks in the present tense, not in the future tense. No condemnation now, no separation now. What then shall we say to these things? We say a hearty amen and amen and hallelujah unto our God forever and forever. We the predestinated, predetermined. Did I read that right? For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed. We are predestinated. We are the justified. We are the called. We are the glorified ones. We who are the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. What shall we say to these things is the question. What shall we say when we find out by the Spirit of God who quickened us and give us life and promised to lead us and guide us and to teach us all things? When we find out that God knows all things from the beginning, what shall we say to these things? He must be a great and glorious God. Wisdom personified. Almightiness and power hath our God. We never heard tell of any being or any deity that knew the end from the beginning, except Jehovah, the true and the living God. He knows what will happen tomorrow. As a matter of fact, we have learned and been taught that He holds when we find out that all things in time, be they little or big, all circumstances, all things work together for our good. To them that are foreknown by God, predestinated by God, and called, what shall we say then to these things? We say, amen. when we find out and come to know what He's doing through the power and the operation of His blessed Spirit in our lives, what shall we say? What shall we say then to these things? We certainly will not call them into question, will we? We will not be doubting Thomas's in this matter, will we? We will not insert ourselves and set forth a condition. There's no condition here. No condition whatsoever that man is to meet. The conditions has already been met in Christ, who met all the conditions. The conditions of the covenant God. God in His covenant set forth the conditions. And God's Christ, the second person of the Trinity, said, I agree to the conditions and I'll guarantee that all that's required of these that fell in Adam, I'll restore that which I took not away. Well, I said there's no assertions of conditions here to shake our faith. There's no ifs and what if or if by itself. These words, we have a glorious declaration is what it is. It's a glorious declaration of God by God of a fact, an unswerving, undenying fact that this is what God has done for those that are in Christ. And once we read it, and the Spirit of God applies it to the court of our conscience, that we are as free from sin as even God's Son is, who knew no sin. We are as free as He is. Because as He is, so are we. We will say, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's what we'll say. If God's for me, who can be against me? I like that, don't you? That makes me happy. God being for me, nobody can be against me. What shall we then say to these things? To God's foreknowledge. What a blessing it is to my poor soul for me to know that He has foreknown me in a spatial and particular way. He knew all men, and He knew all things. He knows the name of every person, their first and their middle and their last name. He knows who we're going to marry before we were born. He knows all. He knows all men and all things. But He knew some in a peculiar manner as the objects of His everlasting charity and love. Not only as an object of His charity, but as an object of His choice. He knew all men and all things. And if you and I are in Christ, we're there because not anything He's seen in us. There was nothing in us that attracted us to Him. We are in Him by His sovereign choice, according to His will and according to His good pleasure. He knew some in a peculiar manner as the objects of His everlasting love and choice, and saved. And they are forever safe in their glorious surety, their substitute and their husband. And they are sure and certain of eternal life in their covenant head, who is none other than the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that would make us to stand on our feet and praise and thank Him for what He's done for us. What shall we say then to the foreknowledge of God? We say amen. Before Him we bow in adoration and adore Him and love Him and own Him. He doeth all things well. The thought to me overwhelms me that God's foreknowledge of me before He created even the angels in heaven, before the angels were created and stood before Him, He knew me. Now that is an overwhelming thought. Before all the worlds were created, He knew me. When He wrote my favored name in the Lamb's Book of Life, before the world, that a wonderful thing. Oh, that brings about the peace of God that passes all understanding. When in covenant, that great covenant, He gave me to His own dear Son, that I might and must be preserved in Him throughout time and throughout eternity. And not only preserved and kept, but presented by the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Lord Jesus Christ before the face of God. Without spot and without, I must stand before Him in another person's clothes, in another person's garment. I must come to Him in another person's name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I come, and everyone who's in Christ is presented by the Lord Jesus and in the Lord Jesus, without spot or without blemish or without blame. Without blame. I won't be blamed for anything. not just me. It's you. It's all of those that are in Christ. The Lord Jesus is going to present you and I in Himself before God Almighty, the Creator of all worlds, controller of all events and circumstances. He's going to present us by Christ, in Christ, without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, and without blame. Now you can blame me for a lot of things. And you'd be right. But there is a place where God meets with His people. And is presented by the Lord Jesus unto God, where it'll have no blame. There'll be no blame. What a blessing that the Lord Jesus Christ is my perfection before the face of the Almighty God. It's all in Him. It's not in me. It's in Him. I own Him. It's my salvation, my Redeemer. Perfection before the face of the Holy Father. In Him, I have pardon, forgiveness, acceptance, and glory. Look over here in the book of Acts. One verse I'll read to you and I'll quit here. Acts. I think it's chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Verse 18. This is what it says. It says, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. God knows all things. Now turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7, I believe it is. Matthew chapter 7. There's something there. Pertains to what I've said, I think. Matthew chapter 7. There, beginning at verse 21, it says here, says here, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will of God that I might do it? Is to believe in His Son. That's the will of God. That you believe in His Son. In Christ. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Notice that. We've preached in thy name. We didn't preach in our name. We prophesied in thy name. And in thy name we have cast out devils. And in thy name we have done many wonderful works. Now you think, or would think, probably, that that's the ideal person right there. We've done a lot of things, Father. prophesied, preached, and we cast out devils in your name. And the 23rd verse, it says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Well, God knows all things from the beginning. He knows the beginning from the end, but He said here He never knew them. What does He mean by that? It is the declaration of His mind and spirit is that He knows all things. We found that out. All circumstances, all places, all persons. Yet here, He asserts that He will meet many that appear to be Christian workers. They'll appear to be, they will be seen by others as those whom they can say, if anybody gets to heaven, they appear, you see, as Christian workers, reformers, workers for Jesus. We're marchers for Jesus. And He will, with this withering announcement, say unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you as the gift of my Father. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And him that comes to me, I will no wise cast down. I never knew you as a gift of my Father. I never knew you as the travail of my soul that He talks about in Isaiah. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. I never knew you in the travail of my soul. I never knew you as the purchase of my blood. Never knew you. They were never seen or known as Paul said he was approved in Christ. They never were. But those that are in Christ shall never be separated from Christ. Those He predestinated. Those He foreknew. Those that He called. No condemnation in them. No separation. Glory, glory will be theirs. Anybody interested in what I said? Anyone have any anxiety in their hearts or their souls about being in Christ? Anybody here have any idea I'm talking about when I mention those that are aliens from Christ? God help you. You've got to know Him. You've got to know Him. To know Him is to love Him. To love Him is to know Him. You've got to come to Him. You've got to receive Him. You've got to bow before. You got to acknowledge your guilt, that you're guilty as charged. I'm guilty, Father. I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Known unto Him are all His people. He knows their peculiarities, and He knows their circumstances, and He knows sorrows. He says, I know their sorrows. Over here, I think in Exodus chapter 3. Let me read this verse to you. Exodus chapter 3, I believe. And verse 7. This is what our God said. Verse 6, He said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, this is what the Lord said. He said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I know their sorrows. Known unto him are all his people, their peculiarities, their circumstances, and all their sorrows. I know their sorrows. That means disappointments. I know their disappointments, and I know their grief. Grief and sorrow and disappointments, they are caused by something. God sends us these that He might wean us, make us useful. Everything that causes sadness and grief and loss and suffering and trouble and disappointments, He said, I know your sorrows. He knows our sorrows. And He said there, in that next verse in Genesis chapter 3, He said, I'll come down to Egypt and deliver you. Been down there for 300 years, I guess, or 400 years. Moses, when God spoke to him, He said, I'm the God of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac. He said, I've heard your cry. He said, I know your sorrow. Well, bless the Lord, oh my soul.